Okay, so welcome to the interview with Professor Dr. Thomas Bury from the University of St. Gallen, where he is a professor of international and European law. And today he will discuss with us from the Weizenbaum Institute about the notion of autonomous systems. So our first question would be, what in your understanding are autonomous systems and what is self-determination?
If I had a good answer to this, I would probably be rich, and I wouldn't have to work on these evaluation schemes that we have just discussed in the talk. I mean, I think we saw that very clearly in what we've discussed so far, or also in my research, that there is very little common ground when it comes to determining what an autonomous machine is. Well, we see it, we know it when we see it, as we say, but that's clearly not enough. And probably that's even more truer for self-determination. In our previous work, we have tried to kind of subdivide the idea of autonomy into various parameters. Clearly, we know that the autarky of a machine is important. How long can it work without resupplying its energy? If that's forever, then that's obviously a very autonomous machine. Then there is the degree of interaction between the operator and the system. How often is it necessary for the operator to intervene for a machine to accomplish some sort of a mission? Yes, is it able to learn by itself? Although I'm a little hesitant to use that terminology. But is it based on machine learning, training data, algorithms that allow the machine to perform certain functions without too much human intervention? So these are some key parameters that allow us to say that a machine has autonomy or not. Clearly, the question turns into something completely different when we are looking at non-embodied systems, at not physical, not robotic systems. There, what an autonomous software program is again a completely different story. This is not something I have done very much research on so far.
Okay, so one question that we're dealing with in this current transition to a digital era or a digital society is this question if we can think about the relation between autonomous technological systems and individual or societal self-determination as some sort of a zero-sum game. So does an increase in autonomy of technological systems necessarily lead to a decrease of self-determination of societies or individuals, or could we think about it as a relation of mutual strengthening or augmentation? Mm-hmm. What would be your view from your field?
And that's a very the question you pose is you pose it in very general terms. I mean, I am pretty sure that let's say 20 years from now, I'm not a prophet, to be clear, but 20 years from now, it would not be that easy to make this sum, and say, well, we have increased our self-determination or we haven't. I mean, I think the technology proceeds or that develops, in specific fields. It's a completely different story to say we have an autonomous vehicle than some kind of system that is able to assist a surgeon in some kind of surgery. I'm really sure that it's very, very, it's going to be very, very difficult to draw that kind of bottom line and say now we have gained self-determination or we haven't. And this is also clear in that, you have that argument that is has been floated for some years now, that the advent of these systems and the artificial intelligence will have the effect that humans will be out of work and there will be no longer any jobs and so on. I think that's a gross oversimplification. Everything we see now points to the direction that there will be significant human involvement in these systems, with these systems. So yes, the jobs, they will change, of course. Maybe being a taxi driver will not look the same in 10 or 15 years. But then again, there are numerous persons involved in maintaining these cabs and so on and so forth. Again, this is all about, not all about, but this is almost certain when it comes to physical systems that interact with the real world, so to speak. When you look at pure software systems, they are very much scalable. Of course, we know these platforms that perform simple functions, and then all of a sudden hotels feel the impact, because now there's Airbnb and so on and so forth. So there is also a significant distinction there. Clearly, I think it's about interaction between these systems and human beings, and if anything, I feel that we as humanity, as far as, I mean, this sounds awfully grandiose, but as far as we can measure this in the perspective of humanity, the emergence of these new technologies, it forces us to confront problems we have so far quite simply ignored or relegated to spontaneous decision makings. You know, you think of the dilemmas with cars, ethical dilemmata. Up to now, we haven't had to solve the trolley problem. We just left it to the individual person to decide in the instance whether he or she was going to kill the grandma or the child, you know, in the trolley problem situation. And then the law was saying, look, we see that you had no other choice, so we're not going to blame you, we're not going to send you to jail, we won't hold you responsible for that. But now we need to program these machines in advance, and we need to take decisions or embed decisions into systems and code them, and that forces us to face dilemmas that we have not had to face so far. And I think we see this on a number of levels and situations. We see it in autonomous weapons. You know, so far we have left it to the individual soldier whether he or she wants to pull the trigger in a specific situation, whether he or she thinks that it is appropriate to do that. Now we need to code that into a system, when a system should do what in a specific situation. Hence, if we do it properly, we may achieve a deeper understanding of processes that we so far were either not interested in or not able to understand in that depth. So.
Yeah. Right. Okay, I think you made a very good and strong point about looking at digitalization not from a perspective that sees everything as black and white, but mm-hmm. to actually look at the real processes that are happening and the specifics of it. Yet, if we are, if it is our aim to preserve self-determination and self-determined decision-making in our current society, could we maybe still lay out some basic preconditions for doing this in the digital age? What would be maybe general conditions for self-determination, maybe from a legal perspective, also from a tech perspective or a general perspective?
To set these limits again in abstract is very, very difficult. In a sense, the whole history or evolution of personal rights, fundamental rights, and human rights of the person is about this question. You know, we have come, or at least it seems that we have come to an understanding, a common understanding of what rights should pertain to the individual person. She or he has freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the right not to be tortured, the right, and so on and so forth. you know about that. And for every single right, we have developed an understanding, a sort of a case law, at the hands of a significant number of individual situations, a case law that speaks to this question that you are asking now. When you have a prisoner in prison, what can you do with him or her without depriving him or her of the essential humanity that makes this person a human being? I think we can learn very much from that. When it comes to freedom of the press, etc., how much can we or should we transfer to machines? I think the understanding of fundamental rights pertaining to the person, it has the capacity to reveal quite a significant dimension in this regard. But nevertheless, I mean, look, when we take, for instance, the autonomous weapon systems, and one of the hard questions there is, can they comply with international humanitarian law, you know, the law applicable in armed conflict, etc. But the hardest question of all for us is whether we find that it is compatible with our human condition to transfer the capacity to kill a human person to a machine. Is that something that we are prepared to concede? Is that, doesn't that have an impact on the essence of what we are? And there's a number of these questions lurking at places which we would have never suspected. And autonomous weapon systems is only one field where this is an issue. And I think we need to have a debate about this, a debate about these limits. I mean, the law, as it stands, will not tell you what to do in this. Neither will ethicists. These are questions that we should take, in a democratic society, with the involvement of everyone, and hopefully with everyone being reasonably informed about what it is that needs to be decided. So this becomes really one of the hard few questions to be answered in the future. But I think it's important now to discuss these questions, because not so much because we're going to lose jobs and labor and so on, but because the process we are looking at, it's creeping, it's slow, you know, and it's kind of transforming things as we go, and maybe at one point we need to stop and think about what do we really want. This is different from the question, look, are we going to use this abacus, or are we going to use a calculator, or are we handing over the capacity to tailor make a suit to a machine, or do we want the tailor to be human? This is different because it touches on core functions or core abilities and capacities of us as human persons.
Okay, thank you very much for these valuable insights. This was Professor Thomas Borri from the University of St. Gallen visiting us today here at the Weizenbaum Institute in Berlin.
Thank you very much for having me.